This is Paul Jindrasiak. Welcome to Sunday Morning Town Square. I'm joined in studio by Tim Cusack. He's an author, actor, speaker. He's just released the book, Me Too. How you doing this morning, Tim?
Great.
So you recently released the book, Me Too. It's done very well on Amazon. What inspired you to create it?
Well, it's been lurking in the back, on the back burner for a long time, many years. It's, you know, because the book thing is just daunting, as you probably have heard other authors talk about. Because it is. I mean, just so, you know, I've been thinking about it for years. And then 2 years ago or so, I was at a conference, and there was a speaker guy, but he's a poet. David White is his name.
Okay.
And he has a poem called Start Close In.
Okay.
And I don't really care for poetry necessarily. I mean, I'm not a big poet dude, you know, so I almost didn't go to his talk, but I thought, oh, what the heck, right? So I attend, and he's just this brilliant Irish poet guy, and he was really cool to listen to. And then I'd come back from the conference, literally the next day, I run into this person, this friend of mine, who she had, I mentioned his name, she goes, oh my God, goodness, I have a poem of his. I said, David White? And he's like, I never heard of him before in my life. And then suddenly I see him in Hilton Head, and the next day I'm back here, and this woman has a poem, a copy of his poem.
Right.
And this is the truth, all right?
Okay.
The poem, Start Close In, is just start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start close in. Take the first step, the one you don't want to take. And that was it.
Okay.
It just clicked. All of a sudden, I just thought, I know how I'm going to write my book.
Sure.
That was it.
And that put you on the path.
And that put me on the path. I literally just thought, that's why I'm not doing what I need to do. It's because I keep thinking about the second and third step of how hard it is.
Right.
The first step, the one you don't want to take, is just sitting down and taking, plotting out a time period to write. And that's it. So I just sat down, and I thought, every morning I'm just going to sit and write a story at a time. And not a full story necessarily or how it would be in the book, but just a start, right?
Okay.
So that's what I did. And I just sort of kept that mantra of start close in.
Right.
I just kept, you know, saying that to myself. Just don't worry about all the other stuff that might happen in the future, but just right here, right now, sort of...
Very zen.
Yeah. Actually, somewhat of the theory of mindfulness. When you're being mindfulness, you're aware of your breath, you're aware of just the present moment, and I just literally sat down every morning for months and just wrote a story at a time. Sometimes I would write maybe more than one, pieces of a couple, but I would just sit down and wasn't even planned. Per se.
Okay.
I would sit and all of a sudden it would just come to me, oh, I should write this. And I would just write.
So how long did it take?
Well, over a year.
Okay.
Yeah, over a year. But the writing process, I mean, when I started, I literally just sat for months every morning and just writing. And I never told anybody. My wife knew, my kids knew.
Right. But outside of that.
But outside of that, no one knew.
Right.
I didn't tell anybody.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Until I got probably really 3/4 of the way down this book or more, did I even tell a couple close friends that, hey, I'm writing this. And that,
okay.
And that was it. I just really... I felt like I was going to jinx it if I did talk about it. You know how people talk about things they're going to do,
right?
And then they never do,
right? I mean, that I guess it counts both, or you know, goes both ways. It can make you be held accountable on one end, and then on the other end, yes, it can jinx you. And sometimes it's better, kind of than that happy medium, to get a little bit out there in the water, like you did, and say, you know, hey, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah. For me, that's how it was. That just, I thought, I really thought, I'm not going to talk about this.
Right.
I really wanted to keep it to myself.
Sure.
So that's what I did.
But you said, you know, in the beginning with the start close in, as you were writing, were you thinking about the next steps or were you just still focused on the writing and then worrying, saying, well, I'm going to worry about the marketing and how I get this out afterward. I just have to get this out.
Yeah. That whole other marketing aspect of it and the rest of finishing the book and the cover and all that other stuff was just seemed so far down the road to me that I didn't even want to begin to go there.
Okay.
It was just the starting close in, the first step was really just writing the book.
Okay.
All the other stuff will take care of itself later.
Mm-hmm.
But the hardest part and really the meat of a book is the inside the covers.
Right.
So I would start to fantasize as I got further through the book what a cover may be like mm-hmm. for the book or what a title might be for the book.
Right.
But I didn't go much further than that.
Just
I really
kind of letting it take its yeah. shape and go with the flow.
Yeah. And okay. as the anyone who's creating something, I think if they're honest, they would talk about the demons that enter your mind as far as the critics. You know, the critical demon that comes in and says, this is crap. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't any good. That stuff, it would creep in, and I would just go back to just stay close in.
Right.
And not, and so it's like I built this little
wall.
Were you
sharing any of it with your wife as you
yes.
went along?
Yes. Okay. Actually, after every story I wrote, I would then read it to her.
Mm-hmm.
After I was done, I would say, hey, mm-hmm. what about this one? And she, on the other hand, see, the demons would, for me, came from a history of being a horrible student.
Okay.
I was dyslexic all the way through school. I had mm-hmm. a learning disability. So spelling and reading and writing don't really come natural to me.
Mm-hmm.
Where my wife, on the other hand, she was a valedictorian
okay.
of her high school. And, you know, was a four-pointer and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was probably a C at best
okay.
kind of guy. So her nature of literature is really quite advanced.
Mm-hmm.
And I would read her these stories and she would just listen. And she would, and I knew it would be okay if she would say, that's a lovely story. Or that's nice.
Sure.
And that's all she'd give me, really.
You knew that you were hitting your mark.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. was it. Yeah, if she was okay it then mm-hmm. then and because I'm figuring okay she's one of these smart people
yeah.
and she says it's okay
it must be okay
it must be okay.
So as you're writing these stories in the timeline that you wrote them, is that how they appear in the book or did they get mixed
no.
around?
Yeah they got
okay.
mixed around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
However, that's a good question because there is a the opening story is called Dirt Boy.
Okay.
And that was early on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only fictional piece in the book.
Okay.
All the other stories are all essays, if you will, all true stories. But Dirt Boy is not. And Dirt Boy comes from my background is in comedy and in improvisational
yes.
comedy and that type of thing. There's a improv game called Build a Story,
mm-hmm.
where you take suggestions from the audience,
right.
and you have maybe two or three, four people on mm-hmm. stage, and you take whatever they suggest, and you just make up a story
yeah.
between all these people.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to do that with my kids. I used to call it a picking story. My
okay.
kids would at nighttime would get to pick an item, and I would then put it into a nighttime story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know why this. I just my wife and daughter were leaving one morning, and I said, give me an item. And my wife was like, what? I'm going to do a picking story.
Okay.
And my wife said plant.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter said lunchbox.
Yeah.
And they left. And I wrote a story called Dirt Boy.
Okay.
It's the opening of the book.
Okay.
And it's sort of a children's story, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I tell the post story. So after that spontaneous improvisational story just flowed out of me.
Okay.
I then sort of did an analysis, if you will, of why did this happen the way it did?
Mm-hmm.
Why did I write this story? You know, I knew I had to work in the plant
mm-hmm.
in a lunchbox,
mm-hmm.
but all this other stuff in here, why did that happen?
And why was that?
Well, truth be told, there's lots of pieces of truth in the fictional story. Like
okay.
there are in fictional writing,
of course.
There's lots of reality
sure.
in the fictional piece. And for me, there was this sort of a I am sort of dirt boy in the story.
Okay.
So some of these bad things that happened to this
mm-hmm.
kid in the story, somewhat pieces of it happened to me, pieces of it happened to a young man who was named Roy.
Okay.
And that's the character, the boy's name, and Dirt Boy, his real name is Roy, but he's called Dirt Boy because he's
right.
being teased at school,
sure,
and
sure.
he's somewhat abused and picked on, but anyway, there's a history behind
right.
why that all happens. And then I go back and I sort of analyze why this happened the way it did, and
right.
And because I, at one point in that analysis, I sort of say, you know, we're all dirt boy.
Okay.
We all have dreams and passions and
sure.
things that have gotten squelched or we've gotten, you know, picked on about or someone has been a naysayer of
right.
something, a dream or a passion that we have that people don't want to hear about or don't believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it came out, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So that sort of sets up the rest of the book.
Okay.
Really. Because I don't know. I guess it just felt like a good beginning.
Okay.
To set up the rest of the book was this story, Dirt Boy.
Now, you also talk about something in it called the beginner's mind. What is it, and what do people need to do to access the beginner's mind?
Yeah, there's three different chapters, mm-hmm. right, or three different little vignettes. I had written them as almost short plays, what they are. There's like a play.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, I think here's a good example of one of the stories. It's I'm sitting on a plane here in Grand Rapids, ready to take mm-hmm. off, and I have my notebook out because I'm working on something, and this little girl is behind me mm-hmm. in this seat, and then they start to push us back, and this little girl just yells really loudly, "Daddy, Daddy, I see a plane!" And the
right.
dad's like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, I know that's a plane," and then we start to taxi down, and she goes, "When are we gonna take off?" And he said, "Well, pretty soon, pretty soon." And then we start, you know, running down the runway, taking off. And she said, "Why are we going so fast?"
Mm-hmm.
"Well, we're going to take off now." So,
sure.
And there was something about the very first thing when we started pulling back was, when, you know, "Dad, yeah, there's a plane."
Right.
Well, yeah, of course there's a plane right there. Mm-hmm. We're on a plane and this
right.
is an airport. But it was the way she said it.
Right.
I thought something about this is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote everything down,
sure.
exactly how she said it.
Okay.
So then the plane takes off, and then she says, you know, are we up in the air? And yeah, we're in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, I can see cars and buses and things.
Right.
And he says, yeah, yeah. And then she said, I can see all the way over there.
Right.
It's like,
but these are all things that you and I take for granted.
Yeah. And then she said, I can see clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And the dad says, yeah. And then she asks, can planes fly higher than clouds? Right?
Right.
All of that is purely the beginner's mind.
Mm-hmm.
She's not editing anything.
Right.
She was so excited about seeing
right.
another plane, about moving, about going fast,
mm-hmm.
about going left and up in the air, seeing buses, seeing all the way over there.
Mm-hmm.
Just that phrase, all the way over there. Where? You know, she doesn't even have to, just all the way over there.
Well, yes.
It was like, why would you need to know
mm-hmm.
what? Just over there. And then to say, can planes fly higher than clouds? And I finished that little beginner's mind piece by saying, yeah, you know, little girl, if everyone on this plane would be honest,
mm-hmm.
that we too are all fascinated by all of this,
mm-hmm.
everything that you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And our enthusiasm, though, because we're adults now, we just don't do that.
Bottle it.
Yeah. And yeah, I said we can fly higher than clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you can see all the way over there. And yes, if everyone could hear you and everyone was honest and we tapped into our beginner's mind,
mm-hmm.
Would we be grateful for you to remind us of all that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And thank you, little girl.
And what do you think we need to do as adults to be able to tap into that, to get back there?
Yeah. So the beginner's mind is just as it sounds, that you don't have to edit anything,
mm-hmm.
and you just can be in awe and
mm-hmm.
of wonder and not pretend you know everything.
Right.
Or anything.
To be open.
Just be completely open, just
mm-hmm.
like a beginner's mind is.
Mm-hmm.
That's why little kids always say, well, why?
Right.
Well, why is this? And why is that? Well, why? And you don't, where I think we get caught up, well, oh, yeah, I know that.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And everything, you know, and it's, you don't have to know anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take a child like that, which beginner's mind, and then I mentioned mindfulness before. You take someone who is brilliant as the Dalai Lama, let's say,
mm-hmm.
and he speaks multiple languages, travels all over the world.
Sure.
You know, pretty brilliant guy. He's written a number of books and lectures around the world, and a lot of very brilliant people sit and listen to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He must be saying something. So, and he would be the first one to say, you know, I've seen him before when he was asked, so are you enlightened? And he just giggles and laughs and says, no, I'm not there. I'm trying to get there. Or,
right.
You know, I don't know if I'm, you know, there's probably other people who are better at it than I am.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's a guy saying, you know, who's hailed as one of the most brilliant minds mm-hmm. in the world. And he's admitting, no, I don't know.
Right, right.
He easily says, I don't know.
Yeah.
And that is a beginner's mind.
Mm-hmm.
So when you keep open so for adults, you know, walking down the streets anywhere in the world, to just be in awe
mm-hmm.
and being in wonder of
things.
And not
take things for granted.
Yeah, just sort of, wow, look at that. It's like, well, yeah, don't you know about that? No.
Right.
What is it? It's like,
yeah.
You know, how am I supposed to know about that?
Sure, sure.
I was with a friend once in London, and we're walking the streets of London, and we come across this, and he just points. He goes, oh, look at that over there. And I was like, what? Yeah, that looks like something. Like that. I think that's something important right over there. I'm not sure what it is, but I got a feeling that's something right there. It's like, you know, a big fence around it. It must be something.
That's awesome.
Yeah.